Well, welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. I'm Dave Clark, here's Steve Palmer. Only one golf tournament this week, so no excuses, Steve. I'm sure you've been burning the midnight oil. Lots to look back on, though. It was a busy week I suppose we're going to talk about four golf tournaments, really.
Yeah, there were four golf tournaments last week because the US Women's Open was taking place, and we didn't cover it on Sweet Spots, so we didn't get the prices in time, but that one finished very, very late. And I watched the conclusion of that one and finished at about 1 a.m. in the end. And then my daughter woke me up at 4 a.m. the following morning because it was her birthday and she couldn't sleep and she was so excited. So sleep deprivation is a thing in the Palmer household at the moment. But I'm glad there's only one tournament, to be honest, Dave. You have full focus on the Canadian Open.
Indeed. Right, you are here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us. Like, comment and subscribe. We want to hear from you, whether you're with us, against us, who you're backing this week. What are your thoughts? Listen, we're not too far away from the US Open. Give us an early shout for that as well. I'm sure myself and Steve will touch on that, as there's only one golf tournament to piece together this week. And of course, jump on to the SBK website. BetSBK is the site. They are the proud sponsors of this show and, of course, the betting partners of the DP World Tour as well. So they are home of all your golf betting needs. So make sure you jump onto the website there. There is a free bet concession, which I'll mention as well. You get £60 in free bets when you place your first bet of £20. All the terms and conditions are on the website there, but free golf bets. There's a boost again this week, 20%. We'll get onto that as well, so make sure you check out the website BetSBK for all your golfing needs. 18 plus, gamble aware. Right, should we just dive straight into it then, Steve? We'll go in chronological order, as I know you like to.
Let's make the proud sponsors proud, Dave. Make them proud.
Well, yes, indeed. Right, KLM Open, Amsterdam. Drama here on the green, on the final hole. Not just the golf, there was protesters, there was all sorts going on. Explain, Steve, what was unfolding?
Yeah, it was a very entertaining DP World Tour event. Often the DP World Tour provides thrilling entertainment, and this was a cracker. I'm not entirely sure what the protests are for, and maybe we shouldn't give them any extra publicity. I haven't bothered to look into it, but I know Eugenio Chicara won the golf tournament and played really well, to be fair to him. You know, birdied the last to win by a shot, two-time DP World Tour champion now at the age of 26. He's up to sixth in the Race to Dubai ranking. So looking really good for a PGA Tour card, Dave. And, you know, he's got his career right back on track because you might remember he got axed from the Fireballs team by Sergio Garcia, the captain of Fireballs. And at that point, Chicara's career was looking a little bit on the rocks. But, he's had the last laugh now, hasn't he? Because Chicara is probably going to have a PGA Tour card next season. And LIV Golf is on its knees. Yeah, where the Fireballs are going to be.
I like to keep
their fiery balls next season. Remains to be seen.
I like to keep my finger on the pulse when it comes to the team event, LIV. So yeah, I'm across all of that. Oliver Lindell, good showing, 10 under par, just one behind.
Yeah, Oliver Lindell, runner up. I mean, he was one over par for the final round through 13 holes, which I think is quite revealing. You know, we've questioned his courage under fire in the past. You know, he's banging the mix there, and that's a really slow start. So he was struggling through 13 holes. He did play the final five holes in 3 under par. So you give him credit for that. But I think he will win a DP World Tour event, but he doesn't convince me in contention.
Angel Ayora, Joe Dean, and Sebastian Soderberg, who I thought was going to win. Or throughout Sunday, I thought was going to win this.
Yeah, he threw away the Scandinavian mixed a year or two ago, didn't he? And Lynn Grant won that. So yeah, he's another player I don't really trust in contention. I think the one you really need to be discussing is Angel Ayora, who finished third. Obviously, we talk about him a lot on here. I thought that was really encouraging to finish third in that, because you had horrible conditions for a lot of the event. You have serious trouble spots all over that course.
It was quite difficult trying to follow this event, actually, on that, because there was staggered tee times, teeing off at the same time, and it was, you know, I think some players had completed two rounds and some had only halfway been through, like one and a half round. It was just really messy trying to work out, you know, how many holes have they got left to play, where are you at, when are you teeing off again, carnage.
Yeah, it was a weather-interrupted event, yeah, but I thought Ayora was really impressive with his short game, which is not something you often say about him. I mean, he had a 7 on the scorecard in round 3, he had a 7 on the scorecard in round 4, and only lost by 3 shots. So two absolute disaster holes and only lost by 3 shots. He makes so many birdies. And yeah, the short game is the weakness. And last week, it was brilliant. It's the best I've ever seen him on and around the green. So I think Ayora is sure to win soon. You know, obviously, we've been banging that drum for a while, but... keep him on your side. It's an inevitability, I feel.
Any other takeaways, Steve?
Well, just I hope Ewan Ferguson's net gets better. I mean, Sunday got off to a terrible start when Ewan Ferguson withdrew. I couldn't believe what I was seeing because he's only 6 shots off the lead. I mean, yeah, a strong final round. He's 4 under par and the winning score was 11 under par. We've seen many a tournament won with a strong final round from just off the pace. And that's what I was hoping Ferguson would do. And then he's withdrawn. So I've looked into it and spoken to some of the Scottish reporters. And he just had a really bad tweaked neck. He tweaked his neck on the morning of the final round and withdrew. And it must have been one hell of a tweak, Dave. I mean, I've got a neck injury at the moment, actually, from wrestling Tommy Tiger. I've got a neck problem. I probably wouldn't be able to swing a golf club today, but you know, Ewan Ferguson's on the verge of banking a really healthy check there, and he didn't feel his neck was good enough to even swing a golf club. So
this is not one where he's just slept funny on it, no?
No, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I just know it was a tweaked neck, but yeah, real shame for Ewan Ferguson fans. And obviously he was our number one selection last week and 12th places was well within his capabilities. But no, we live and learn. I mean, it's just I was thinking about it and I was thinking about how dejected I felt on Sunday morning. And I still have pity for those people that were on John Rahm. Do you remember when John Rahm was leading the memorial? We'll come to the memorial in a minute. He was leading the memorial during COVID times by 6 shots, I think it was. And then had to pull out because he tested positive for COVID. Do you remember that? Patrick Cantlay ended up winning that tournament. So I was feeling down. I thought, well, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Yeah, he could have tweaked his neck and be 6 shots clear and then pull out. There's always someone worse off than you, Dave. Whenever you're feeling down, I know you get very angry sometimes, like throwing things around. Again, your wife's been talking to me about your extreme temper. Dear. After the Greyhound Derby went wrong, I heard all about the antics there. Whenever you're feeling like that, when that rage is building inside you, Dave, just take a step back and think you could have backed John Rahm for the memorial when he was
sick. I could have done. Listen, we exchanged messages on Sunday morning and you were cheering on my guy after your man had been withdrawn.
Yeah.
That cheering lasted about 3 holes because I was on, I'm just trying to get his score after 3 holes. Katsuragawa.
Oh,
I think he was 7 over through 4 holes. So it was just like, I just switched it off for a moment. I had to switch it off.
It's a dangerous golf course, wasn't it? Yeah, the weather was horrible. And
this is what I'm saying to you, Steve, about because you live and breathe it, and which is like, it's your job too. But, you know, betting and finding winners on golf is difficult. It's so hard. Like, I thought I was a run of it, and within 3 holes, I was. You might as well have missed the cut, mate, because you're not going anywhere.
Absolutely, yeah. And how did you deal with that? Because resilience is the key to successful long-term golf.
Well, I still had Sam Burns in the frame, so I was kind of, I was all right.
So you felt okay about that, and then your resilience was tested later in the day. I mean, resilience...
Yeah, we'll get onto that as well, yeah.
Resilience is the key to successful long-term betting. Yeah, you have to take these punches.
You cannot be a seasoned fan of West Ham United without having resilience.
Well, blimey, yeah, I know. Some of your associates have got some serious questions to answer, haven't they, Dave? I think...
Where's associates? I'd just like to distance myself from some of those associates.
No. I mean, yeah, if the season can't get any worse for West Ham, no, I'm surprised you brought the subject of West Ham. We need to move on swiftly.
We do. Right, let's go to Tyrrell Hatton, back in the winner's enclosure then. Liv Andalusia.
Which was a fascinating tournament. As I say, 4 golf tournaments last week, and you couldn't watch all of them. Yeah, this one you had KLM and Andalusia going on simultaneously. Because I've got an affection for Valderrama, I did watch more of Liv Andalusia, I have to say.
At least one of us did, yeah.
Yeah, so we got a nice balance on it. And, Tyrrell Hatton, a 16-1 winner and a triumph for the nappy factor. I mean, we've discussed the inspiration that can come with becoming a father, certainly for the first time. And you know, Hatton was an uncertain participant in Livanda Lathia. You know, last Monday, I was trying to find out whether he was going to play or whether he was still on his paternity leave because he's just had his first kid. But he decided to leave little Althea behind, Althea Hatton. So he left Althea with Emily, his wife Emily, and jetted to Spain. And obviously it works out wonderfully. I'm sure Emily was a little bit, oh, you're leaving me with the baby. But now he's coming back with a $4 million check. Emily's probably thinking, yeah, that was a smart move. Because Legion 13, I know you've got a real passion for the team competition. Legion 13 justified their favourites tag in the team competition. So Hatton ended up with absolute fortunes. Althea's trust fund is going to be extremely healthy.
How old is Tyrrell Hatton?
Early 30s, I would have thought. Now in the early 30s, but first baby. And Althea's, when Althea turns 18 years of age, she's going to get a very good surprise when she clicks on her trust fund.
When's the spread on Tyrrell Hatton's second child?
Good question. Yeah, I suppose it depends how he takes to the role.
It's
going to
be quick fire double.
Do you? I don't think he'll have the temperament for the job. I mean, I've been severely tested on my parenting this morning.
That's a good point.
I mean, I've really struggled today. I mean, you talk about resilience with golf, Ben. I've had to have extreme resilience this morning in getting my son to school. And I do feel that Tyrrell Hatton will need a lot of help to get through it because, a bobble on the green can send him absolutely turbo, isn't it? And staying calm in the role of parent.
Well, a bobble in the nappy might send him over the edge, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to... Yeah, I'm sorry, Emily, if you're watching. I don't think your hubby is going to be up to the job. But
I'm sure she is. Yeah, I'm sure she is.
But when you're as loaded as those guys are, it makes it very easy. You could have 25 nannies. You could have a nanny stationed in every room of your mansion, can you? And it makes the game a lot easier. But we shall see. I don't know when Hatton's having another baby. I'll research it for you, Dave. You'd like me to be
across
these
things? You'll be across that, I'm sure. So he's a winner. Where are we at with Tyrrell Hatton at the moment then? Obviously the newborn baby throws things into the mix a little bit. But he's a winner again, and he's a man that's up to the job in winning any golf tournament, including majors.
Well, he went very well in the US Open last year, didn't he? I mean, he likes the US Open. His short game gets him out of trouble. You'd have to consider him a runner. He's gone back to the UK to see his family. They've been staying in the UK. So, Hatton has to be on your radar. John Rahm, obviously.
Runner-up.
The runner-up came. That's back-to-back runner-up finishes in Livanda Lathia. He's now finished runner-up three times at Valderrama, so he can't seem to get the job done over those closing holes. It was a poor first round that did John Rahm. Played really well over the final 3 days and fell two shots shy. But, John Rahm, we're probably keeping a closer eye on him than we are Tyrrell Hatton, to be honest. But we'll come to the US Open next week and have a good think about it. Abraham Answer finished third on his own, Dave. I mean, you were watching KLM. I was watching Livanda Lathia. You know, he was our... We only had two tips in Livanda Lathia. Full place money from Answer at 28-1. I mean, I was watching Livanda Lathia on my phone, and my son was watching Annoying Oranges. The girls had gone out shopping. You ever seen Annoying Oranges, Dave?
No.
Neither had I until Sunday. It's actually really quite funny. But we were doing a classic modern family thing. Son watching Annoying Oranges, me watching the phone. I felt pretty bad as a parent then, but it's the only way I could watch the final round of Livanda Lathia. But Answer tied for the lead with a few holes left, David. Yeah, if you look at the leaderboard, which you probably did, you just think, oh, Hatton left Answer behind. But they're tied for the lead with a few holes left. Answer's missed a really tiny birdie putt on the 17th, which killed him. He finished with five straight pars. Hatton finished birdie par. C'est la vie.
Yeah, we know the par train won't mean you anything. Final word then on that one is Sergio Garcia, still the king of Valderrama, I see, was up there.
Yeah, he beat Taylor Gooch. Taylor Gooch did okay, but no joy on Taylor Gooch. But yeah, Sergio Garcia just comes alive when he sees that course. I thought Gooch was taking over as the king of Valderrama, but maybe not. They'd be wrestling for that crown. I mean, Dustin Johnson was the other one I wanted to mention. He has back-to-back top five finishes for DJ. Encouraging signs for DJ fans. Maybe he still has got a future in this game.
Well, he's still a young man, as we've said in previous shows.
He is
very much.
He's younger than me. He's younger than me. He's probably older than you. How old are you, Dave?
39
in your prime. Doing anything nice for your 40th?
Maybe Vegas, as it happens.
Vegas, blimey, yeah.
We shall see. Might not make it back, but maybe Vegas. Right, let's move on then. JT Poston, winning a playoff here over Ryan Gerrard. And throughout that final round, Poston, who had been the leader, looked as if he'd thrown it away, Steve. So he showed good mettle.
Oh, he did show good mettle. Yeah, really gutsy performance. When you lose the lead like that, he did look beaten, didn't he? And then birdie, par, birdie. To get in a playoff. Yeah, fantastic putter. Always has been a fantastic putter. His approach play, much better than it normally is last week. Fourth PGA Tour title at the age of 33. This is the biggest one he's had, the most prestigious victory of his career. It's just shame it's another bookies benefit day because, yeah, that's another one. You put it in the comment section. How the heck do you find JT Poston to win the Memorial? I just don't see how you could construct a coherent case for that. He's been really poor this season. I mean, he put a new... You say, like, me being across everything. I didn't know this until I heard people talking about it, heard him talking about it. He put a new golf ball in the bag last week. We have a new type of golf ball. Fell in love with the golf ball, and suddenly his approach play was amazing. But, maybe that was the trigger for it. But I find it fascinating that we've had a streak now. You know, all the talk is of that... how it's like a bomb and gouge game these days on the PGA Tour. And look at the winners we've had lately. Aaron Rye, Russell Henley, JT Poston. Yeah, these are...
They're not bombers, yeah.
They're not. I know you get a bit upset sometimes, Dave, about your lack of driving distance, you know. I've been told that you sometimes don't get it past the ladies' tee. But
you have to play your next shot with your cacks down.
But don't be demoralised is the message I've got for you. Because look at these guys that are winning PGA Tour events. Rye, Henley and Poston, they don't hit it out of their shadow and they're winning PGA Tour events. So that's just a fascinating period. Put it in the comments section if you did back JT Poston. And I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'd love to know. Listen, that was a hell of a golf tournament, though. I think... four holes out, we had five players at 11 under par, all tied for the lead. I was on one of them until Sam Burns decided to hit it onto a bridge, and that was game over. But
you must have been
Tommy
pleased he hit it onto the bridge, didn't you?
Yeah, he was still half a runner once it was on the bridge.
Nice clean lie. I mean, I thought his shot off the bridge was pretty poor, actually, because he's got like a perfect lie. It's like the match you get at the driving range, isn't it? I was... relief for you that it had gone on the bridge because it was like a million to one to stay on the bridge.
One player who may well be playing himself into a bit of form, Tommy Fleetwood. The approach shot he hit into the par five propelled him into contention. He's carrying a bit of momentum this week.
Yeah, you're right. That was a hell of a shot. Was that a seven wood or something? I think it was one of those sort of lofty woods, wasn't it? But really encouraging. I mean, the Majors Acker unfortunately died when we didn't get the second place in the USPGA there. But Tommy Fleet was our original selection for the US Open. We thought this was the major that he'd have a best chance of winning. And it really is encouraging that he's finding form at the right time. It'll be massively in my calculations for next week. I thought it was fascinating that his driving was really good last week. His short game was really good last week. And it was his iron play that was letting him down, which is a traditional strength. So, I think that's pretty encouraging, actually. When the certain aspects of the game you're not particularly good on firing. It won't take him long to rediscover the iron play. So I'm disappointed he's playing this week, Dave. We'll discuss the Canadian Open in due course. I don't really think he needs the Canadian Open. I think he could have done with a week off, but he's playing this week. But yeah, he's on the radar, Dave, for sure.
Okay, yeah. Listen, a good watch, PGA Tour, but we've said this before on here, but there's so many bloody adverts. You know, I'd decided that if Sam Burns won, I was probably going to buy an Audi. Because there were so many adverts, I was like brainwashed into spending my winnings on an Audi.
yeah. That's what I did with Patrick Reed when he won the Masters in 2018. You're right. The coverage was absolutely abysmal at times, wasn't it? Yeah, when they throw up a random player. It's even worse earlier in the week. You just get complete randoms coming up. I don't know what the answer is there, Dave. It's what I was telling you about the other day. Yeah, just control the controllables. We cannot have any impact.
If there was an opportunity to watch golf a subscription paid without any adverts, I'd be all over it. Just give me uninterrupted, you know, take my money and just show me golf.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. Well made. Yeah. Maybe we should campaign for that. I say there's nothing we can do about it. Yeah, maybe if we start a sweet spot campaign for that, we can get results. Yeah,
get in the comments.
Get in the comments.
There's a guy, I've got to address this, okay, because I've seen it quite a few times in the comments. There is a guy, I think it's the same bloke over and over again, suggesting that I wear eyeliner. You've seen that.
I'm quite happy to
just prove that there is no eyeliner at all on my eyes. Listen, if that's what that guy's into, then that's up to him, but it's not for me.
Well, the funny thing is, I did notice that. I think that comment got more likes than any other comment, if I remember.
Probably, right. Yeah. It'll get even more likes now.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, Dave. So you don't do any makeup at all, then? You don't even go to the tanning suite?
Not on a Tuesday, no.
Not on a Tuesday. You do that on other days. Yeah, I don't know what it is, Dave. I'm sorry. I mean, the comment section, we've got loads of nice guys on there. I mean, during that period when I was tipping like a winner every week, I really enjoyed it because the bad guys turned into good guys. You know, like there's a small collection of like relentlessly... Yeah. Horrible people. During that period, that even the guys that like to get on my back were being really
well. Listen,
nice.
Strap yourselves in because there was plenty of those ruining their ugly heads with Scotty Scheffler's performance.
Yeah, I'd actually like to thank one of the bad guys because he suggested something for my arthritis that I looked into this boron stuff, and I'm getting some of that, and it might help me. So yeah, you know things are going well when the bad guys start being nice to you and suggesting cures for your illnesses. So I appreciate that. Thank you. But I'm sorry about last week. Feel free to abuse me.
Where are we with Scotty Scheffler? He's going off, Tiger Woods like prices. He's not even playing like Scotty Scheffler, let alone Tiger Woods.
Yeah. I mean, I was tempted by the drift last week and I thought 7-2 was viable. I mean, abysmal approach playing round one. Yeah, you know, the lack of harmony with his caddy was the most interesting aspect of it. Did you watch much of that during round one? I thought he was going to smack Ted Scott. You know, he hit the ball in the water at 16, and proceeded to show his frustration to Ted Scott. He was going, "I don't think you realize how frustrating this is. You know, I've hit a good shot and it's gone in the water." Ted Scott's like classic head down, not really saying anything, just taking all the punishment, which I guess you would do for the amount of money he's won on his 10% or whatever. Scheffler had, I say Scheffler had the biggest sort of hissy fit he's ever had. He's the biggest one I've ever seen. It just went on and on and on. It even proceeded to the next hole because he thought he'd hit a good shot. And it ended up short in the water on the left. I mean, if he'd taken a better line, you know, in all fairness to Ted Scott, if Scheffler had taken a safer line, it wouldn't have gone in the water. It was an aggressive shot.
We have seen him lose his rag a couple of times. I can remember him smashing his golf bag of his club before. Does he need to re-find God? What's going on with him?
Well, it's absolutely fascinating how the media conferences worked out last week. You know, I like to watch all the media conferences. And they had Jack Nicklaus, the tournament host, in before Scotty Scheffler. So they had Jack Nicklaus in and they interviewed him. And they asked him about Scotty Scheffler. Obviously, he was going for the hat trick. You know, what's his best qualities? And Jack Nicklaus started pointing, so saying his head. Yeah, his head. Yeah, he said that Scotty Scheffler's best quality is his head, which I think is right in terms of his course management. Because I think Nicklaus and Scheffler are very good course management. It's a key to their success. And then Scheffler's next into the interview room. And then one of the reporters told Scheffler what Jack had said about him and said that his best quality was it. And he just started laughing and he was having a little bit of banter with the reporters. And he said a few things off the record. So basically, Scheffler was surprised by that comment because obviously he has got this explosive side to him that comes from the head. The next day, so that was a Wednesday media conference, and then the next day there they are on the Thursday with his head just completely coming off. I don't know whether it put pressure on Scheffler to show these qualities, and it all became too much for him. It's the angriest I've ever seen him. The wind was swirling on that first day. It was just a tricky golf shot, and Ted Scott thought he'd given him the right club and didn't. But then, as I say, it went on to the next hole. I felt so relieved for Ted Scott. So Scheffler chipped in at the next hole and it was like a little weight off everyone's shoulders. But then the next day, I did notice on the Friday, they still weren't getting on as well as they normally do. There was a distance between him on the Friday. I mean, I think it was a sort of bit humiliating for Ted Scott. I mean, my lady wife was in that room while I was watching the first round. She darting in and out, and she was really angry with Scottie Scheffler, and she said, "I thought he was a nice bloke. No, he's just behaving abysmally. You know, you're tearing into Ted Scott." And then I made the case that, you know, I would happily let that man, physically abuse me for the amount of money that Ted Scott has got from just carrying the club.
I wondered where he was going there. Please tread carefully. Please tread carefully.
Well, I just had to make the case. It's not like they're down the pub and this is a bloke. Scheffler obviously has made Ted Scott a multimillionaire. But yeah, to the layman or the lay lady, what am I talking about? The lay lady found it a really difficult watch seeing Scottie Scheffler abusing his caddy. You know, I would say venting his frustration. But I think it was such an episode and such a humiliating experience for Ted Scott in front of everyone that naturally they were a little bit distant on the Friday. Over the weekend, it seemed like they were getting back on track because Scheffler started hitting it better, essentially. The caddy's job is a lot easier when your man is hitting it well. And Scheffler on the Saturday hit his ball really well, but then he putted really poorly all weekend. So
yeah, he did putt really poorly.
Just can't put it all together. And obviously the next tournament he's got is the biggest of his whole season, US Open. Is Ted Scott going to be there? I'd be staggered if he's not. Scheffler's going to win the career grand. He's attempting to win the career Grand Slam in the US Open. The pressure is going to be up an extra level, and it's going to be fascinating to see this relationship, which is more strained than it's ever been, I'd say. How's it going to hold up in a US Open? You know, traditionally the tournament that sends you potty with the difficulty of the golf course. And Scheffler is turning 30 on the Sunday of that golf tournament. It's a huge event. It's going to be a fascinating spectacle. But obviously for us, last week was really disappointing. You're tied 12th, 7-2. Lots to think about. The only positive, Dave, the only positive that I think Scheffler can take from the tournament is that a lot of his rivals in the world rankings played worse than him.
McIlroy.
He tied with McIlroy, but Cameron Young, he had a terrible Memorial record, and it's got even worse. He finished 46th, Dave. Cameron Young's form is worse than Scheffler's going into the US Open. Ludwig Aubert, do you remember we were talking about him last week?
I remember him. He's gone missing, yeah.
Well, there's a massive gamble. Like, we were discussing it last week, like, all the early money on the Monday and Tuesday was for Ludwig Aubert. A misjudged gamble. Finished 39th. And then Matt Fitzpatrick had a poor week. He finished 36th. Xander Schauffele, 29th.
Yes, I was going to ask you about Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele, 29th. Just dismal putting. A really poor weekend. So, like, Scheffler could walk away thinking, I finished 12th. Disappointing. But he can look at the players that are around him in the world rankings. And it was really only Fleetwood. It was only Fleetwood that outscored him. There's plenty of big names that are struggling, and I wonder whether the schedule has a role in that. We've had so many signature events. Third major of the season incoming. It's all crammed in the summer now, isn't it, Dave? The majors are all crammed in. I think there's some tired golfers out there. I think playing the Canadian Open is an error.
Right. Well, we'll get on to that. Before we do, I wanted to ask you about the US Women's Open.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on last week. Just sort of for those that missed it, what happened, Steve?
Yeah. Just to sign off from Memorial, Adam Scott finished tied 12th as well. I think Adam Scott is finishing tournaments really strongly, and I think he will win another PGA Tour event. So keep Adam Scott on your side. US Women's Open. Yeah, I'll briefly talk about that because we're on Ruin Ying. The members, the subscribers will know that we're on Ruin.
RacingPost.com.
Yeah, they'll know we're on Ruin Ying. Yeah, we don't deny the sweet spotters. We just didn't have time to get that one in. And she was banging it. She was one shot behind, a couple of shots behind going over the last few holes, and then just finished absolutely abysmally. This is why I was showing Peter Thomas yesterday, who came down to Weymouth to interview me to discuss the life of tipsters. He's going around talking to all the tipsters on the Racing Post that have been there. Part of our 40th anniversary day. Racing Post has been going for 40 years. And I was teaching him about this test of resilience that golf betting brings, because Ruin Ying Very, very late on Sunday night. We're preparing for my daughter's 11th birthday, which is the next day. You got to wait till she goes to bed, and then you get all the decorations ready for the following morning. So watching US Women's Open while getting all those things sorted. I contributed about 5% of the role, actually, to be fair. And Ruan Ying looked a potential winner. Yeah, I'd say she was third favourite at the time. She had this capitulation, and she went to bogey, double bogey, bogey, par to par five, and then finished eighth. And that's the resilience, the late night Sunday stuff that's required. So I was just guiding through Pete Tommy, because normally Mondays are my processing day where I absorb all the dramas of the previous week. Yeah, if he got me on a good week, it would have been a quicker process, but he got me on a bad day and I was just still processing your Ruan Yings, your Scottie Scheffler's. Abraham Answer was, he had a good chance to win that tournament, didn't. So I just said, look, I'm just processing. And then on the Tuesday, when I come on to see Dave, chirpy Dave, my little chirpy Cockney friend Dave. Then I try and match Dave's chirpiness, his trademark chirpiness. And I'm usually all right. I think I'm struggling a bit today, to be honest, but I'm usually all right, aren't I, Dave?
Listening. It's all good. I will say, you've mentioned this already. As we came on to the call, you did say that your son had only just gone to school. So I'm sure it's been some mauling for you. So we won't hold that against you, Steve. Yes. Family life versus work life is life in general.
Well, that's Tyrrell out and we'll find out. Yeah, parenting is very, very tricky. And getting that work-life balance is not easy. But when you can employ 25 nannies, I suppose it is a bit easier. But I don't have that opportunity.
Well, not yet, anyway. Right, let's move on then to previewing the action. Before we do, our friends at SBK are offering you a 20% winnings boost to your winnings. If you find the winner of the Canadian Open, they will give you a 20% boost on top. All the terms and conditions are on the website. Now, Steve is hopefully going to steer you onto that winner. We are going to tackle this year's Canadian Open. Only the one event. Where it's placed in the calendar is quite interesting, just before the US Open, so an interesting field. Ryan Scott beat Sam Burns in a playoff last year. Talk to us about the course, Steve. Not a lot of course form to go on.
Yeah, Ryan Fox was champion last year. We were on him last year, so we're going for back-to-back Canadian Open wins, and we're going to deliver. We're at the North Course, TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, Ontario, Canada. 7,389 yards, par 70, two par fives, made its PGA Tour bow last year. Generous fairways, the 6th and the 10th, potentially drivable par fours. 35 players reached double figures under par last year. And 18 under par was the mark to get in the playoff. I think a sharp short game, really important at the North Course. We've got large greens, runoff areas around them, moderate breezes, a thunderstorm threat for day one, sunnier and calmer for Friday and Saturday. Gets cloudy again on Sunday with some potential showers. A field of 147 going to post, Dave. I thought you'd like that one with your love of snooker. It's got something to do with Brooks Koepka. I won't go into the details, but whenever he plays, you get these really odd numbers. So 147 going to post. Place your bets by noon UK time on Thursday. Only one of the last 10 Canadian Opens has been won by an American. Make of that what you will.
Interesting. And give us an attribute then. You're talking about around the greens. What are we saying?
I think putting. I think short game is the most important, because they're big greens and there are upturned saucers, a lot of them. So there's runoff areas around them. So lots of chipping to do, lots of putting to do. And on the evidence of last year, the only course form we've got, everyone on the leaderboard putted well. Look at the putting stats of the leaderboard last year. So, I think that's the key to success, a sharp short game.
Okay, right, let's give you a show. 14's the field here in the Betting Village. Matt Fitzpatrick, Sam Burns and Tommy Fleetwood all contesting favouritism. They've got Wyndham Clark, Justin Rose, Colin Morikawa, Christopher Wrighton, Bobby Mack, Brooks Koepka, Nicola Højgaard. Listen, it's lacking one or two of the big names, but a very competitive field. How many players are you putting up, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's a surprisingly good field. Have we got five tips, Dave? Five tips.
Five. Okay, right. Well, let's jump straight in then. Who is the main selection?
Robert McIntyre, who I think will be thrilled to get back in Canada. This tournament provided his maiden PGA Tour title in 2024, you might remember. He won at Hamilton with his dad acting as caddy. Do you remember that one, Dave?
Yes, I do.
It was a joyous moment for the McIntyres. He's since returned to that course just to play social golf. He's just got this real affection for Canada. He's got this affection. He's got this good relationship with the Canadian galleries. And I think that's really important because he's been struggling with the American galleries lately, Dave. He's had some difficult times since the Masters. Because you remember at the Masters, you know, he's a feisty old character, is Bobby. And some lewd gestures, some of the American commentators have described them as obscene gestures at the Cathedral of Pines. I mean, yeah, he lets off steam, doesn't he? Wears his heart on his sleeve. And, you know, some of the American sort of country club guys have found it a bit much that he was behaving like that at Augusta. So since then, he's been getting a lot of stick for, you know, his conduct. But, you know, us Europeans know what we're dealing with here. You know, he's a good lad, is our Bobby. And he doesn't mean any harm. It's just he likes to get his emotions out. And I think this sort of furore since the Masters has affected McIntyre, and it's created this, it's contributed certainly to this dip in form that he's had. If you look at his form in the lead up to the Masters, Dave, he's absolutely flying. He played really well at Sawgrass. He finished fourth in the Players' Championship, and he nearly won the Texas Open, you might remember. He finished second in the Texas Open. Then he went to Augusta and it all went wrong. I think he was a bit knackered when he turned up at Augusta, because if you remember rightly, that Texas Open was an epic final round. You remember me saying they're all absolutely knackered? They played in terrible conditions in the final round. Played about a million holes on the final day. And, yeah, I think he went into Augusta like really quite vulnerable, with a low level of tolerance, because he was so tired. And it showed. And, you know, from the Masters onwards, it's not gone well. But I feel like a return to Canada, it's just the spark he needs. This is a course that really suits him. And I think he's going to put like these 2 months behind him. It's only been like a couple of months of mediocre golf. This week's venue, as I say, a premium on short game. McIntyre 12th on the PGA Tour putting stats this season. He's always been reliable on the greens. Closed with a 65 for 36th place in last year's Canadian Open when he was defending his title. Highly motivated, Dave, which I think is very important. We'll get to all the market leaders. I'm not tipping any of the market principles this week. Major next week. McIntyre will be really keen to stop this rot as soon as possible. I think he's highly motivated for the Canadian Open. He's got a fantastic record the week before majors, Dave. It's a really an eye-catching record. Both of his PGA Tour wins came the week before a major. He's won twice on the PGA Tour, both a week before the major.
What quirky stat, yeah.
Well, nearly did it again this year. Yeah, a week before the Masters, nearly won the Texas Open. So, Bobby Mack has his head on before majors, whereas others don't. And it's easy to forget, Dave. I keep saying you might remember it. I'm testing your memory a lot. It's not going to be easy for you the week after the Greyhound Derby. You're probably still dreaming about dogs. But he was world number 5 at the end of January this year. Robert McIntyre.
Is he really?
World number 5 at the end of January. And I think we need to see the bigger picture. If you look at the last 2 months, you're going nowhere near Bobby McIntyre. Yeah, this is an elite golfer who's gonna feel energized by being in a friendly crowd. You know, they love Bobby McIntyre as much as we do. I think that'll help him get back to his A game.
I like it. Yes, we love Bobby Mack, and the Canadians are putting an arm around him and hopefully steer him back to the winner's enclosure there. So, Robert McIntyre, the main selection. Who's the next best?
Nick Taylor. Just consistently underrated. I've been guilty of underestimating him in the past as well. I'm not making the same mistake this week. This is a former world number one amateur, Dave. Won the Canadian... We haven't said that for a while. He won the Canadian Amateur Championship in 2007. He's won 5 times on the PGA Tour. The highlight of those wins was the 2023 Canadian Open. You must remember that one, Dave. One of the best tournaments in PGA Tour history, I would say. Taylor holds the most enormous putt you've ever seen. He becomes the first Canadian-born player to win the Canadian Open in more than a century. Adam Hadwin, rugby tackle by the security guard. Surely I'm jogging your memory now.
Yes.
I'd say it's up there potentially as the greatest golf tournament in history, because I've never laughed so much watching a golf tournament than when Adam Hadwin was rugby tackled by the security guard in the celebrations. But the point is, Nick Taylor has got the T-shirt in the Canadian Open. He's done it under the most intense circumstances possible. He won't fear the moment. If the chance presents itself, you know, he's proved his bottle on so many occasions, not just in that event. He's a magnificent closer. He's so plucky. And I think he's going to set up another winning opportunity on Sunday. And if he does, I fancy him to take the chance. He finished fifth in the Cadillac Championship ninth in the Cadillac Championship a month ago. Then he was 14th in the Truist. So two really solid performances in signature event company. He tied 26th in the USPGA. Lots of credit to take from that. Last year's Canadian Open, he carded four rounds in the 60s for 13th place. So I was really surprised by the fancy prices. Golf markets these days mature very quickly. It's similar with Bernd Wiesberger last week at the KLM. The early prices were ludicrous and they've been knocked down a little bit. And it was the same with Nick Taylor, but you're still getting 35-1 out there, which I think is really full of juice, mate. Bosh. I said Joyce, didn't I? That's a darts player, Ryan Joyce. Yes, 35-1 is full of Joyce. And because you're going to get full focus. McIntyre, fully focused. Taylor, obviously, fully focused. Lots of these market leaders that we'll come to. It's just a gentle tune-up for the US Open.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned them couple of recent lines of forms, or more recent line of forms, because to quote Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? So I was going to ask you, you know, what has Nick Taylor, has he been going? Because he's not exactly been sort of a regular on the leaderboard, is he?
No, this is true, Dave. You're treading thin ice today. You're bringing up West Ham. You're bringing up Michael Jackson. Well, Janet Jackson. I agree. I mean, certainly Nick Taylor's got some recent form. You're right on Bobby Mack. I'm taking a leap of faith with Bobby Mack. You are right.
But listen, the way the golf world has been the last couple of months, I think you need to throw the form book out the window anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you take a leap of faith with JT Poston, wouldn't you? You're absolutely right, Dave. Yeah, sing that one to me. Sing that one to me off air if you're not prepared to do it on air. I'd love to see you do it on air, but...
no, you're not. Okay. I'll put some eyeliner on and belt it out for you, yeah.
I want to see you come in full makeup for the US Open. I want to see everything you got, mascara and concealer. You can tell I've got an 11-year-old daughter. I'm learning all these words.
Concealer is, but yeah.
Covers up your spots, mate, apparently.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But don't pretend you don't know anything about this, Dave. I know you've been an hour in makeup before you came on.
Absolutely. Right, two selections, three more to come. I hope the prices are getting bigger, Steve. I did notice that we're lacking an American so far. So who is the next pick?
I've got an American for you at the end. I mean, I have to say, Americans haven't got a good record in this tournament. The Americans don't win this tournament. I said make of that what you will. I mean, Canadians and Americans are not the best of friends at times.
No.
And I'd say probably... at the moment, it's the weakest the relationship has ever been. And I don't think the Canadian galleries turn up wanting an American winner. And that may affect the Americans a little bit. But, I've only got one, and it will come to him at the end. He's 350-1, my American. So he's worth a chance. Number three selection is another Canadian, Dave. Another Canadian, full focus. Mackenzie Hughes, a top-class Canadian. Another Canadian with a magic short game. We've mentioned those runoff areas around the greens. Taylor's good around the greens. Hughes is fantastic, fantastic chipper. He's a good putter as well. He's always been a very effective rock roller. Born in Ontario, two-time winner of the Canadian Amateur Championship. Won on the Canadian Tour in 2013. Won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2016. He's won twice on the PGA Tour. Really consistent record in his national open. He's never won it, but he's been on leaderboard a lot. Finished 27th at TPC Toronto last year. Four rounds in the 60s for 10th place at Colonial last time out. So lovely warm-up spin. Loads to like about Mackenzie Hughes. And, surprisingly deep in the betting.
Yes, he is a big price. Who is the fourth selection? Because these prices are getting bigger, Steve. I like it.
Yeah, the last two are extremely... big prices. AJ Ewart, another Canadian, won the PGA Tour qualifying school event just before Christmas, won on the PGA Tour America's circuit in 2024, carded a 59 on the PGA Tour America's circuit last year, which underlines how good a putter he is. You can't really shoot 59 without putting well. And Ewart is a consistently good putter. So PGA Tour rookie this season, and has missed only four cuts. You know, you look at the record of the rookies, a lot of them just struggle to make the weekend. He's missed only four cuts. He's banked nine checks. Four of them have been through a top 20 finish. 13th place in the Cognizant Classic, 11th in the Valspar. His last two PGA Tour spins have yielded 19th spot in the Byron Nelson, 17th in the Charles Schwab Challenge. He carded a 63 on the Friday at Colonial. So doing a wonderful job of keeping his PGA Tour card, Dave. He'll tee up in his National Open this week with freedom because of that. Missed the cut last year, but easy to disregard. 590th in the world rankings at the time. Now he's up to a career high 192 going into this week. Putting is his strength. You know, putting is all important this week. That's his strength. And I'm not bothered that the US Open qualifying didn't work out for you. We had yesterday was golf's.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Golf's longest day, as they call it. 36 hole qualifying events for the US Open all over America and Canada. And Ewart played in that and it didn't work out. But he played in the one in Canada, which is only an hour's drive down the road from this venue. So, plenty left in the tank. Didn't play Memorial. So there's enough energy in AJ Ewart for him to be a really lively outsider at a massive price this week.
What sort of price is he?
160 to 1. I was looking at when I was.
He was looking at. Okay, he was just looking.
I was, of course. I think he's been tickled out a little bit, but AJ Ewart is a lively outsider, nice. And then double the price to the next fella.
Yeah, come on then, 350 to 1. What have you got for us?
I'll just take a swig of my tea.
No time for that, Steve. 350 to 1. Come on.
Well, I might not be able to speak. I can't speak. Oh, England are going to win the World Cup of Darts this week, but you need a lot of money.
Right, we'll get on to that. Don't worry, we'll get on to that.
Lanto Griffin, who turns 38 on Monday. Maybe he'll have a trophy to celebrate with. Two-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. Then he made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the 2019 Houston Open. Winless since then, but has had lots of injury problems. But he's still a force to be reckoned with. He finished third in the 2022 American Express. Then he won the 2024 qualifying school, the one that AJ Ewart has just won. He was third in the 2025 Pro Core Championship. You might remember that one. It was just before the Ryder Cup, so a really quality event with all the Americans turning up.
Yes.
You do remember.
Team bonding. Yeah.
Team bonding exercise. Scotty Scheffler won the tournament. Lanto Griffin finished third and was very emotional afterwards because it proved to him that he could still be a factor at the highest level. He's always been a decent putter. TPC Toronto suits him, and he's shown flashes of his A game in the last 3 months. He was seventh in a Korn Ferry Tour event, then he was 13th in the Myrtle Beach Classic, 32nd at Colonial after a final round 67. And then yesterday, normally I get put off by these 36-hole Mondays. Yesterday just encouraged me further because he played in a US Open qualifier in that Canadian one, which is just an hour's drive from TPC Toronto. And he shot 69-67, 4 under par. Not quite enough. It was a narrow miss on the Shinnecock Hills ticket, but you know, a continuation of good recent golf. Griffin playing well. We know he likes TPC Toronto because his form figures coming into this event last year, Dave. WD, missed cut. But he closed with a 63 at TPC Toronto for 27th place. 27th place, Dave. So opened up 400 to 1. That's a wrong price for me. Like the Lanto. What we're talking about. Light the Lantern. That was the one that I was thinking. Light the Lantern. You know that light the candle one?
Yeah.
It's an all-time classic. I'll never forget Light the Candle. Because that the first time I sort of heard that live was when Tiger Woods was on his way to, well, I thought he was going to win the 2018 Open Championship. And there was some Americans following with me that day. And one of them shouted, light the candle, after Tiger did a driver. I think that's still my favorite golf cry. But yeah, light the lantern. If Lanto Griffin's in contention on Sunday, I'm going to be screaming that.
Nice. Right, he is a big price. Those at the head of the market are not such a big price. But still, listen, I think it's a good betting event, but you've swerved them all, Steve. Why?
Yeah, you got Matt Fitzpatrick at the top. I mean, he was 16 shots outside of the playoff on Sunday. He was 4 over par at the Memorial. His driving was really poor. His putting was abysmal. And he's a course debutant this week. So, I think the exercise for him in Canada is to get that driver working. Both the Fitzpatrick brothers have got problems with their driver because Alex Fitzpatrick's driver actually broke last week. The shaft snapped. And he didn't like his replacement. But, yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick drove the ball really poorly last week. So he's in Canada to try and straighten up his driver and hold a few putts because his putting confidence would have been severely dented by last week. But, yeah, throw all that into the equation. I don't see how you could be interested in at those short prices.
Right, one player I want to ask you about, I've got my eye on, Brooks Koepka. Talk to me.
Yeah, he hadn't played for a little while. Hitting the
ball. I like that. Coming fresh.
Well, yeah, and obviously he's had plenty of time to work on the putter. I mean, he's been testing all these new putters.
Yep.
In that time off, he might have found one that he likes and he might roll the rock better. Yeah, I've got the utmost respect for Brooks Koepka, but he's not for me in this staking plan. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood would obviously be a watching brief for us. He made a mess of that 17th hole. I mean, the 17th hole was where it went wrong for Sam Burns on Sunday, but it went wrong for Fleetwood as well. Yeah, brilliant eagle on 15 and then... But I think overall, really encouraging week. So we keep an eye on Fleetwood, but I think it's just a tune-up this week for next week. He's a big runner for next week. And then Sam Burns, you might want to play up your place money on Sam Burns because, this is a better fit. It's a premium on short game.
Yeah, I mean, as one of the YouTube commentators did flag up, he's not won for a while, Steve,
No.
Is last week going to spur him on to win this week? I'm not so sure.
No, I'm not so sure because it did expose the victory drought there, didn't he? He hasn't won a stroke play event since 2022. He won a match play in 2023. So he hasn't won a stroke play event for more than 4 years. I think that's told. I mean, I gave up on Patrick Cantlay a few weeks back, you remember.
Yeah, and he's not 50. Like, I was on him because he was 50s last week. He's not 50s this week.
Yeah, he's pushing favouritism, isn't he, for this week? Yeah, I mean, I gave up on Patrick Cantlay because I felt like the victory drought was in his head. You could see that from final round performances, and you could see Sam Burns' victory drought was in his head on that 17th hole. He hacked his way out of that 17th hole. Very fortunate to get a bogey on 17. And I think, as you say, I don't think short prices are worth bothering with on Sam Burns.
Good. Okay, we've got 5 to go to war with anyway. I just want to mention, wasn't to be for Ballymat Ralph, who was my tip in the ground derby, but it was lovely to see former host of this show, Bruce Millington, at Toaster, looking well, in good form. The eagles are flying high.
He dressed very well, didn't he? I saw a photo of you and...
he won best turnout, yeah.
He was in... he looked terrific fettle, didn't he? You were a little bit,
I was soaked through.
Would you call that smart casual? Did you go smart casual or just casual?
I was going to go really smart and the heavens opened and I thought, I'm not walking around in a soaked suit, so no, it wasn't for me.
Fair enough. No, it looked like a jolly event. Yeah, I did tune in for bits and bobs of that.
If you missed if you want to see, I did interview Bruce for our live show, and you can catch that on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just find our Grand Derby Final live stream, and it is on there somewhere towards the back end of the show. So yeah, lovely to catch up with Bruce. Talk to me very quickly, Steve, about the Arrows.
Oh, well, it is the World Cup of Darts this week in Frankfurt. And, last year, the English dream team of Luke Littler and Luke Humphreys were given a heinous reception by the Frankfurters because they played Germany in their first match. So Germany had a game of warm-up. They were all ready to take on England. England coming a little bit cold, perhaps a bit complacent, and it all went horribly wrong, but... I just can't see the same mistake happening again.
Is it the dream team again? Yeah?
It's the dream team again, yeah. So you got Luke
Littler. What price are they?
They're 4-7 is the best I've seen. So, but yeah, bear in mind, Dave, Gerwyn Price is not even bothering to play in this. So the Welsh team massively weakened. Jan van Veen's got at the game since, the poor fella had kidney stones and he hasn't been the same since his operation.
So you're telling me this 4-7 is a good price? Is
that I am actually. Yeah. Yeah. I do not see a team that can possibly beat. I'll get my famous catchphrase out if I have to get my badge on. This will not be beaten. I just do not see a team capable of beating them because even the German side. Yeah. The German side is what did them last year. Yeah. Really unlucky draw to get the Germans in Frankfurt. But Ricardo Pietrecco was really dangerous back then, and he's had dartitis since. Like he's got the yips. He's gone at the game as well. So, if you can find a team that can beat England, Yeah, I think I think you're wrong.
Quarter seven. There you go. Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to hold it against you because your golfers are big prices this week. Remind us of who the plays are for the Canadian Open.
Yes, Robert McIntyre, Nick Taylor, Mackenzie Hughes, AJ Ewart, and Lanto Griffin.
Beautiful. Right, we will, of course, be back next week. The big one, Steve.
Yeah, shiny cock heels. Really looking forward to it. I'm looking at Tommy Fleetwood. I'm really tempted by Tommy Fleetwood, but it's far too early to decide who we're going to have. I don't know who I'm going to have. I mean, Fleetwood was the pick at the start of the year for this. And as I say, I think he might have timed his run quite well. Nothing certain until Sunday. I'll work it all out on Sunday.
Okay, right. We will see you guys then for next week's show, previewing the US Open, the biggie over stateside. Canadian Open this week. Good luck with all your golf plays. Do jump in the comments. Let us know who you are backing if you're following Steve. Hopefully you are at those big, big prices. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time. Mm-hmm.